pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright.
And so what it means to be justified is, in the first place, it's just as if I'd never sinned. But secondly, and this is the part that's almost harder to believe, it's just as if I'd lived a perfectly meritorious life like Jesus himself.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series Galatians, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month made to Alan Wright Ministries. So as you listen to today's message, you can go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at pastoralan.org. That's pastoralan.org. Or call 877-544-4860. 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
This is my faith. But we tend to think that we somehow are going to get motivated or motivate other people by getting them a little bit afraid that maybe they hadn't quite done enough, and then they'll try harder. But in fact of matter, isn't it true that when you get afraid, whatever it is that you're trying to do, you can't do it as well? I mean, in fact, the fear sabotages you. I got stuck watching the Weather Channel this past week. I wanted to check the weather, but the Weather Channel doesn't report the weather anymore. They just, it's documentaries about weather. But anyway, I got stuck watching about flash floods, and boy, they milked this story for too long, and I didn't even get to see the end of it. But the story was of a flash flood that happened. A woman's car got swept in this flash flood. You can't drive through water. If water starts moving, I've seen this on Weather Channel, get out of the car and don't try to drive through. The water started carrying your car and carried it into a tunnel in a big city. And then the tunnel started filling up with water. I mean, really filling up with water. And the woman couldn't swim. Her car was sinking, submerging. They're telling this whole story really dramatically and recreating all of it. And the woman is up on the top of her car that's mostly submerged, and the water's rising in the tunnel, and pretty soon it's going to fill. Her head's getting closer to the top of the tunnel, and she can't swim. As the providence of God would have it, and as the Weather Channel was glad to report, there was a firefighter off duty in the area who had, in his military service, been a rescue swimmer and diver. And this was good news, because he was confident to go and save the woman. But he had no flotation device with him, and so he had to swim against the heavy current of the rising waters and go next to the sinking vehicle and tread water as she is sitting on top, hysterical. And I just loved what he did first. The first thing that he did was he shouted out to the woman, and he said, "You are not going to die today." And I thought, now that's there. That's gospel. That's good. That's what she needed to hear right at that moment. Because I've never tried to rescue a drowning person, but I've read that it is very hard to do, because the main obstacle in rescuing a person that's drowning is for the person you're rescuing to let you rescue them. Because if you're drowning and a person comes out there, that you just begin to attack them and climb on top of them and push them under the water and claw at them. And there have been stories of lifeguards that just have to just knock you out, just have to absolutely knock you in the head or something to get you to the top, or else we're both going to drown. I'm trying to rescue you, but you're trying so hard to save yourself, I can't rescue you. And so the story went on. You're not going to die today. And the fact of the matter is, the best thing that she could do to make progress in her life was to let herself rest in the arms of her rescuer. This is part of what Paul is trying to say here. I saw you receive the Holy Spirit when you became Christians, Paul said. You began with the Spirit. Do you think that now you're going to make progress by thrashing about and trying to save yourselves in some new way? I saw miracles in your midst. Did you really see any of those miracles come about because you had practiced rituals of circumcision or dietary laws? No. There is a rest in the Lord. A Sabbath rest in Jesus, Hebrews says, that is for today. You see, I don't have time to go into this in great detail, but but I will anyway. God, after 6 days of creation, he rested from his labor and he said, it's complete, it's very good. He rested because he'd finished his work. And there's no mention of Sabbath until God gives the law to Moses. And he says, you tell the people on the seventh day, you need to rest from all your labor from the work because God rested. I want you to be in the same rest that is God's rest. I want you to experience that. But it was just a shadow. It was just a shadow of what would find its reality in Christ. You understand, the old covenant is described by the new as shadows of that which is to come. It's like a shadow. It gives you a very good idea of what a person, there's a person there, and you may see movements, and you may see, but is of no comparison to when you have the person himself. So Jesus is the person himself. And what we find in Hebrews is a looking back to this idea of Sabbath, saying this never really was about just this one day a week or about you being pharisaically keeping this 24-hour period and not doing any work. This was all a shadow that was pointing to the way that God really has always wanted you to be able to live your life, resting from your labor to try to save yourself. And instead, every moment, every day, not just one day a week, in Jesus Christ, we have Sabbath. Why? Because he did for us what we can't do for ourselves. And the people that learn to walk in the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, every Christian has the Holy Spirit, and those that learn to live a life that is increasingly empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's not really because they have more of the Holy Spirit. It's really because they have yielded and rested more in the promises and assurances of God's work in Jesus Christ so that they can rest in his arms and receive the empowerment. What Paul is saying, in other words, is that you might be allured into thinking that there are things, Galatians, that you could do that would somehow make you more sanctified or you more spirit-filled. But the fact of the matter is, those very things that you want to mix into the gospel, they are not only non-essential, they are poisonous to the gospel, because once you start taking a self-improvement plan of your own, that's where you forget what it means to rest in the Lord. And the spiritual battle is at this point. You ever thought it was so interesting that the promised land that the people of God fought to take, their battle was to go into the promised land, which God called the place of rest. It was like a picture of the real battle is whether we're going to live in the rest, in the Sabbath of the gospel, or whether we're going to live with the fear and the angst that comes with a mixed gospel of grace and law, that comes with a sense of guilt and curse with it. Oh, that's the real point of the spiritual battle. So much so that Hebrews says, interesting, a paradox, if you're going to labor to enter into the rest. Because the spiritual battle is really at this point. And this is why Paul says, who has bewitched you? When he says who, he uses the pronoun in the singular form, because he's not really talking about the Judaizers here. He's really talking about the spiritual enemy. He's really talking about the accuser, the one that's called Satan. He's talking about the essence of the spiritual battle is to bewitch us and cause us to think that we need to strive in order to get God to bless us. God fills us with his Holy Spirit because of the guarantee of his love that we receive by his grace through faith alone and nothing else. Anything other than that gospel actually doesn't lead to life. It leads to death. We had a precious opportunity to do some ministry down at the Bethesda Center, one of the places in town that has ministry for the homeless and good ministry, and along with Larry Revis Ministries and our outreach ministry, we just had simple time, and people were feeding, we were feeding them hot dogs, and they had some medical screening. We just had a couple tents set up just to pray with people, and it was just a beautiful time. And I dropped by, and I got an opportunity to meet a man and his fiance. I hope that sometime they'll come to church. I invited them, and I'll call him Jimmy. And I just began to talk to him a little bit, and then Jimmy began to cry, and he said he was really confused. He'd heard a lot of different preachers, he'd heard a lot of different things, and in the story, he began to tell me that his mother had died of cancer. And he'd heard some people say that God will take away the things that are most precious from you, and he didn't understand that. And he was living for 10 years with kind of this haunting sense that did God give my mother cancer and take her away because of the sin in my life? This is kind of what he's living with. And he said he was so confused. I said, well, let's just sit down and let's talk. And I talked to him and talked to his fiance. He was a sweet man. And this is the story he told me. He said that he was working in a car body shop. He had a good job. But he said, I just felt like I could never be enough for my dad. And my father never told me he loved me. He said it was just his way. And he said, I always wanted him to. He said that his father was always comparing. He said, so he'd compare salaries. I wasn't making enough money. He said, but then I started doing good in the body shop. And I was making more money than he was there for a period of time. And we'd always comparing. And then it got to where he got a promotion in his company, and so he was making more than I was, and I couldn't make any more in the body shop. And we were still comparing, and he said, so that's why I just decided I'd start making money illegally. And that's where the trouble began. And it led down a path to where he said, and now, and he wept. He said, I'm homeless. I've never been homeless before. He said that 10 years ago, he said, on his birthday, Jimmy said, his dad pulled him in the garage and said, son, brace yourself like a man. And he said, I know it's your birthday. He said, but I got to tell you, he said, your mother's got cancer. Happy birthday. And he walked out. He said, that's all he said. That was my birthday present.
That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Imagine for 99 days in a row, someone tells you, I love you, I'll never forsake you. Wouldn't you feel cherished? But what would happen if on the 100th day that same person said, I'm not sure you're good enough for me. If you don't measure up, I don't think I'll love you anymore. Wouldn't that one day contaminate the meaning of the other 99 days? Wouldn't 1% of conditional love poison the other 99%? Well, just 1% of law is enough to spoil grace. The tiniest bit of law can introduce an unlimited capacity for fear. What if I don't measure up? When might I be rejected? When the Judaizers infiltrated the Galatian church, the Apostle Paul was outraged and wrote a letter that describes the essence of the gospel of grace and why it must not be mixed with any form of law. Alan Wright's 12-message audio series trumpets the power of the gospel in order to set you free and empower you with pure grace. It's called Galatians, and that's the gospel. Discover the purity and power of the grace of God. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
You know what that dad's thinking? Dad is thinking, if I really want my son to be something better than I am, I need to point out how low he is so that he'll be afraid that he's not measuring up, and then he'll try harder in order to measure up. That's what that dad's thinking. And you want to just stop for a moment. Let's just think about the logic of that. You think your son is going to be a more prosperous person by you pointing out how much of a failure he is? Really? Who's bewitched you? Who
has bewitched you into thinking that you're going to produce character and faith by instilling fear through lack of acceptance. Who could convince you of that? Really? Really? So what Paul's saying is that the gospel, he's been saying this in chapter 1 and chapter 2, and here comes and says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and the gospel is an announcement of God's unconditional love. That the way that God enables you to change and to grow is by assuring you of his love, not by withholding his love. I said, Jimmy, I said, you must understand that the way that you experience your father, this is not to put down your dad or anybody else's dad, but to say, but God is exactly the opposite of that. His love for you does not depend about whether you've sinned or not. He loved you while you were in your worst sin. He loves you just as much today. He loves you. He loves you. And you can't earn his love, and you don't have to try to earn his love. You just accept his love. That's the gospel. You can see a man, it doesn't matter whether he's the head CEO of a prosperous company or a homeless man on the street. Every man has the same longing, the same need to know God loves me and I can change, and that the love came first. God loves you. Those are the three most hopeful words I know, and a close second is you can change, but beloved, keep the order right. The truth of the gospel is that you can change, you can grow, you can become more and more righteous in your living, you can become more obedient, there's more for you to do, you have a destiny, God is using you, you can be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, you can have more and more abundant fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, be used of God, you can grow, you can change, you can impact the world, but none of that will ever add to or take away from the love of God. Such is the good news of the gospel. And in fact of matter, what Paul's saying is, stop and think about it. The miracles that you have seen, whether they be the miracles of transformation in your life, or whether it be miracles of healing that you've seen through the body of Christ, any of the glorious things, whatever you've seen, he says at verse 5, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? And the answer is, the power of God moves in your life not because of your obedience, but because of the goodness of God. What I'm saying is, the good things that God does in your life, he does because God is good. Therefore, yield your life to him. Surrender yourself to him. Let him continually fill you with his presence. Don't fight against him by your own self-improvement plan. It'll never add a single blessing to your life. And be assured, I said to Jimmy, and I would say to any, Jimmy, God did not give your mother cancer and take her away from you because you're sinful. We are all sinful and have fallen short of the glory of God. We live in a world that has trouble and we don't understand everything that has happened. God wants you to be free of that guilt. It's the haunting guilt and its associated fears that keep us from coming boldly to the throne of grace. Alec Holden received $50,000 on the day he turned 100. British man, I think. The reason he received it was because when he was 90... he found out of a betting company that would take wagers because the odds they had placed were 250 to 1 that he would live to be 100. And so Alec put down $200, believing that he'd live to be 100.
And when he turned 100, he collected his 50,000. I really liked the quote that the paper had. And it said that, Alex said, "I do have to confess that on the last days before my birthday, I was living rather cautiously." And an even better line, he said, "and regularly reminding myself to breathe." I say this to tell you that it is not the people who think that they're cursed and are going to die that are the ones that live their life to the full. It is those that are convinced that they are going to live. And beloved, the good news of the gospel is that in Jesus Christ, you are going to live forevermore. Therefore, you can count on it and live your life boldly, courageously, and obediently. Really? Really. And that's the gospel.
Alan Wright. And today's teaching, Breaking the Spell of Legalism, Embracing the Power of the Spirit. It's from our series on Galatians. Alan is in the studio, back here in a moment with additional insight on this for your life and a final word. Please stay with us.
Unlock the power of blessing your life. Discover God's grace-filled vision for your life by signing up for Alan Wright's free daily blessing. If you want to fill your heart with grace and encouragement, get Alan Wright's daily blessing. It's free and just a click away at PastorAlan.org. Imagine for 99 days in a row, someone tells you, "I love you, I'll never forsake you." Wouldn't you feel cherished? But what would happen if on the 100th day that same person said, "I'm not sure you're good enough for me. If you don't measure up, I don't think I'll love you anymore." Wouldn't that one day contaminate the meaning of the other 99 days? Wouldn't 1% of conditional love poison the other 99%? Well, just 1% of law is enough to spoil grace. The tiniest bit of law can introduce an unlimited capacity for fear. What if I don't measure up? When might I be rejected? When the Judaizers infiltrated the Galatian church, the Apostle Paul was outraged and wrote a letter that describes the essence of the gospel of grace and why it must not be mixed with any form of law. Alan Wright's 12-message audio series trumpets the power of the gospel in order to set you free and empower you with pure grace. It's called Galatians, and that's the gospel. Discover the purity and power of the grace of God. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, PastorAlan.org.
So, Alan, if someone's listening right now, and boy, they really feel like they have been living maybe a life or part of their life under legalism. I don't think anybody sets out to say, "Okay, I am a legalist. I'm going to be legalistic about these things." But it creeps in, doesn't it?
It does. I was talking to somebody just yesterday, Daniel, who had grown up in a whole lot of legalism, and now has come out and has seen it. And you know, there may be some listeners that have grown up in or been taught in such a legalistic, shame-based kind of atmosphere that it really would be amazing the kinds of restrictions and real feeling of slavery that it can almost feel like you were caught up in some sort of almost cult-like environment. But I think for most of us, it's more of this mixture, you know, yeah, of, okay, we hear about grace, but then we also, the message ends up saying, yeah, but, right, you know, here's what you ought to do and here's what you ought to be. And so it begins to rob the gospel of its power. And when you begin to hear this message, there is a breaking free that takes place. And I just encourage every listener, just let it be like a dawning of a light that just begins to shine in your heart. And it will expose, I think, more and more those places where, well, Paul used the word bewitched. It's like you can be under a spell. And we go, and later you look back and go, why was I even... why would we attracted to that kind of message? But sometimes because we are, our hearts are tainted with sin and we're broken and we know that we sin, we gravitate, I think, sometimes to the message of the law. And it seems like it should be right. It seems like that it should be right. But it's just that the gospel's so good and so wonderful that sometimes it seems too good to be true. But it is true, and God loves you, and God has done the extraordinary in Christ Jesus. He's paid the whole price.
Today's good news message is a listener-supported production of Allen Wright Ministries.